All right, men's advance coming up. I want to encourage you to be part of that. And for all the visitors and people, our guests that have just been coming over the last few weeks, we've got a next step with me coming up on the 11th. So just things, life groups start today. So enjoy getting back together. Well, it's a real joy to be together. The scripture says, where the brethren dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing. And that's not just us in the church, but it's really all the seasons of our church. And it's just a joy today to have some people who have served our church really well for years and years and years. Pastor Tom May is here. Pastor Tom, would you just stand real quick? Many of you know Pastor Tom. Pastor Tom was a key part of our pastoral staff for so many years, and the Lord continues to call his leadership to Richmond. It was great seeing him on the stage for Bless Richmond just a few weeks ago, and he continues, he and Teresa and the family. So, Pastor Tom, just great to have you, and thank you for your wonderful leadership in our lives. I'm going to ask you to do something that you're going to have to fight to do this, but I'm going to ask you not to stand yet, okay, when I introduce this next person. Just kind of stay in your seat. It's going to be hard because you should stand, but just I'm going to ask you to sit for right now because we just want to say a big thank you to Diane Mancari, who's here with us, but she's just going to stand. She's not going to come up front, so if you want to see her, you got to sit. Pastor Wayne and Diane obviously have led our church for 22 years and continue to be leaders of us as they pray. There's probably not anybody who prays for Cornerstone more outside of our pastoral staff and the people here outside of our area than Pastor Wayne and Diane. And they, I get to talk to Pastor Wayne probably about once a week or so, and they're always praying for us. And for 22 years, they not only help put the carpet in this room and led the building campaigns of two sections of our building, but they've been building our lives. God's used them to build our lives for many years. And I do have a little gift for Pastor Wayne before I invite him up here. And we just want to... Pastor Wayne just thought it... Just... Who's that guy? Pastor Wayne, would you come on up here? You can stand now if you want. There's a real fun story behind this that we won't share now. You know,
but it was in the dumpster.
Yeah.
And he got it out of the dumpster.
You may be seated. It's a privilege. You know, Wayne's ready for the word already, so I'm not going to take too much time. But Wayne, you know how much we love you, and you are always a leader in our lives, and we're so grateful for you. And what God is doing in the harvest in the next seasons of our church because of faithful leadership in you and Diane. And it's a real honor for us to have you share the word and kick off this week of prayer and this month of resolution. So God bless you as you share the word. We love you.
How fun.
I'll put this back here.
God is good. What happens is when I say God is good, you say all the time. And then when I say all the time, you say God is good. God is good. And all the time. It's so great to be home and to see all of you and to just sense the incredible warmth of God's presence and to sense the health and the strength of what God's doing here. And several weeks ago, the Lord just dropped a word in my heart that I believe is part of what he wants to do to move into this year. Because it's not just about the past. The past is great. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. But don't ever let your memories be greater than your dreams. There's always something more God's calling us to. As long as we have life and breath and direction, God has more for us. New things, new directions, new blessings, new provisions. And I believe as we move into this year of resolving together, there are some decisions we have to make. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do today. And in fact, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to read the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 18. Luke was a medical doctor who took a lot of detail on some things. And one of the things he spent a lot of detail on was prayer. And right here in the middle of this book, he writes in Luke 18, a passage of scripture with a parable where he's trying to teach something. I want you to follow along as I read it to you. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Why does he teach this parable? He teaches it so that they would always pray and not give up. Say that with me. Always pray and not give up. When do you give up? Never. You keep praying and you keep praying and you keep praying, even when you don't see things change. Even when that person doesn't change, that circumstance doesn't change, that community doesn't change as fast as you'd like. He says, I want to give you this so that you would always pray and not give up. Say that with me one more time. Always pray and not give up. And so here's what he went on to say. Jesus said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Heavenly Father, I ask in these next moments that you who inspired these words as Jesus spoke them and Luke recorded them, that same Holy Spirit that prompted this story would prompt that same response in us, that something would rise up in us that would start to feel like, I am not going to give up. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on moving forward into this year with expectation of what you alone can do. God, let that spirit that you intended to be released through this passage be released in us here today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here's what I'd like you to do. Before you're seated, get a big smile on your face. Big smile on your face. Some of you need some help with that one. Okay. And I want you to turn to three of our people and say to them, always pray and never give up. Okay? So greet a few people, give them that smile, and declare that to them. Thanks, guys. If you'll reach in your bulletin, you'll find there an insert for the outline of the message. If you don't have an outline, if you'd like to raise your hand, the ushers will make sure that you get one. Or if you need a pen, I've given you some text here because I believe there's some important truths that God wants to speak to us this weekend. The title of the message is Knock Knock. Israel. Israel, good to see you. God spoke these words to us today because he wants us to understand something very strategic. And my prayer is through the course of these 3 points we're going to look at from this passage, something will rise up in your spirit. If you want to at some point just sort of move into praying and interceding and lifting up someone before the Lord, part of the purpose of this message is to let that spirit of always pray and never give up rise up within us. If you look on the inside of your insert, the first message we have is knock, and it says frequently. Knock frequently. Say that with me. Knock frequently. There's this widow who kept coming. Now, I imagine it might have been something like this. One day, hello? Judge comes to the door and says, who is it? The widow says, I'm a widow and I need your help. And the judge says, do I know you from somewhere? Do you have some money? Because the scripture says he's a corrupt judge. Most judges in those days were like that. They were corrupt. They could be bought off. They weren't interested in justice at all. They were just interested in filling their own pockets. So, do you have some money? And the widow responds and says, no, I don't have any money, but can you help me? The widow then hears the judge say, I don't know you, and do I know somebody who sent you? And the widow says, no, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in high places. That's why I'm here, because I need your help. And the judge says, go away. And off she goes. But the next day, she comes back. And on the other side of the door, the judge says, who is it? And the widow says, hi, I'm a widow and I need justice. I need your help. He says, didn't you hear me yesterday? I said, go away. And she says, but you didn't hear my story. If you just hear my story, I think you'd help me. And the judge says, if I wanted a story, I'd go to a library. Get out of here. And off she goes. The third day, she comes back. And before anything can come out of my mouth, he says, go away. I'm not going to help you. I'm a judge. I can get a restraining order. Get out of here. And off she goes. The fourth day, she comes back. And day after day after day after day, this woman keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. And finally, the judge says, this woman's going to drive me crazy if I don't respond. And Jesus says, how much more will our Heavenly Father hear us? If God is so much better and higher than a corrupt judge, he's saying, I want you to have this sense of mentality of keep on knocking. Now, here's one of the problems for us. You know, we go to the Lord one time, oh, God, you know my child, and you know what condition they're in, you know what they're going on. Would you please work in them? And nothing happens that day. And so for the next 15 years, all we do is complain about them. Complaining is not praying. It's gossip, actually. We may pray for our spouse or pray for our boss. You may not realize it, but the boss you have was part of God's plan. God may have put that boss there because if something needs to be worked in your character or some way that God's going to bless through you. So instead of just praying once and then just complaining about your boss to everybody who will listen, this passage of Scripture is saying, look, I want you to knock frequently. And here's part of the tragedy you'll see in the next box. The great tragedy is not unanswered prayer. It's unasked prayer. The tragedy is an unanswered prayer. The tragedy is we don't ask. Or maybe one time we say, oh, God, you know we need this. Oh, God, could you do this? And rather than continuing to press on and knock and knock and knock, we don't ask. And the Scripture says sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Now, that doesn't mean one time. All those passages, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Those are in this sense of there's a call to let that cry be in your heart and spirit. You'll notice the next blank there says this, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. You see, we sang a song earlier, nothing is impossible, but sometimes we pray as if only certain things are possible. And so we lift up prayers that sort of limit God. Prayers that say, well, that would be too tough. You know, maybe just like a belief for this. But he's saying, if you will have bold prayers, if you will boldly pray for your family, for your community, for this congregation, for its leadership, for what God wants to do, if you will boldly pray, God answers bold prayers and he honors them. It goes on to say this, the more you pray, the bigger your dreams will become. And the bigger your dreams become, the more you will have to pray. You see, I used to have this false notion that one day I'd get mature enough in Christ that I wouldn't have to depend on him anymore. I mean, that sounds really awkward. But I think sometimes I think, well, doesn't it get easier? Shouldn't it be easier by now? Shouldn't it just happen? No, there will never be a time that you don't desperately need to come to God in prayer. There isn't some day that your wife is like, okay, well, you've prayed enough all your life, and now it'll just be coasting time, and everything will happen. No, God says, I want you to boldly press in. I want you to boldly pray. And that's why he speaks this to us. The more we pray, the more we'll have to pray. Because he is calling us to this place of frequently coming to him in prayer. Knock frequently. Say that with me. The next one is this. Knock fervently. Say that with me. Knock fervently. Knock, knock. Cherub. Cherub. God answers prayer. Knock frequently, no, or fervently. Notice what it says. She cried out to God. She kept coming with her plea. She called out. There's a fervency here. Scripture talks about a fervent prayer and the importance of coming to this place of saying, God, I just commit myself to believe. It's this praying through concept. Where it's like, God, I'm going to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying till something breaks inside and I know that I know that I know that I know that nothing is impossible and that you can work on my behalf. And that's what it says in that next blank. Praying hard is praying when it's hard to pray. There are sometimes it's hard to pray. For some, it's 6 a.m. For others, it's when you're in the middle of frustrating emotions. But praying hard, praying fervently, is praying when it's not easy to pray. Which again, I don't think we ever come to a point where we're so mature, so grown up, so godly, that we don't need to fervently call out on God anymore. We will always need to do that. 55 years into following Christ, I still have to fervently press in and believe for what God wants to do. It doesn't get any easier. In fact, sometimes it gets harder. Because there's this place of depending upon God that comes in that fervency. Notice all these passages of Scripture from Acts and Hebrews and James that talks about loud cries and bold tears that are offered before the Lord. Because there's a sense in which God is calling us to press in prayer. The next blank is this. The Bible was meant to be prayed through. Some people say, well, Pastor Wayne, I don't know how to pray. The Bible is not just stories. The Bible is not just imperatives of things to be doing. The Bible is intended to be prayed through. You don't know how to pray? Just open it up and start praying it, verse by verse, scripture by scripture, chapter by chapter. Pray this into your family. Pray this into this congregation. Pray it into this community. You want to know how to pray? You pray by praying through the scripture and letting the word of God be strong and be released as you continue to press into that place. Now, there's a story that is given to us that's an important story about understanding how this works. It's about a prophet named Elijah. And it had not rained for 3.5 years. No rain of any kind. Elijah has this experience, this interaction with the prophets of Baal where eventually they're all slaughtered. And I had a great opportunity. If you ever get the opportunity to go to the Holy Lands, you know, I have sort of avoided that because I just thought it would be awfully touristy. But this past year, I was able to take a team over there, and wow, it radically transformed my experience of the scripture. And when we were on Mount Carmel, there's this place where Elijah knelt, and he said, oh God, would you prove yourself faithful, and would you send rain? And he called out, the scripture says, fervently, before the Lord. And then his servant Gehazi said, hey, go and check and see if there's rain. And you go, and you can actually see the Mediterranean from that hilltop. And he went over there, and the servant comes back and says, no rain. The second time, Elijah calls out, he's like, oh God, God, we need your rain. Prove yourself faithful. Show who you are. Release that rain among us. And he sends the servant, and the servant goes the second time and looks, and nothing. Elijah, again, does not give up, but the third time, oh God, I need you to break through. We need your rain. The third time he sends the servant off, comes back, nope. He fervently prays again. The fourth time the servant goes off and comes back, nope. The fifth time, nope. Sixth time, nope. Seventh time, Elijah calls out, God, I'm going to keep on calling out to you. I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to keep on asking. Come and release your rain. And when he sends the servant off, that seventh time, the servant comes back and says, well, there's a little tiny cloud about the size of a man's hand way over the sea. And Elijah says, you better start running because it's going to rain. And sure enough, torrential rains began to fall. Why? Because he kept on asking. He kept on praying. He fervently called out upon the Lord and continued to believe for what God would do. Look at that next box there. It says, all of us love miracles. We just don't like being in a situation that necessitates one. Sometimes God leads us to a place where we have nowhere to turn but to Him, and our only option is to trust Him. Sometimes God puts us in moments so we have to trust Him because we are so prone to want to trust ourselves. I can do that. I can do this. Come on, I can do this. We get that mentality of just saying, I just have to work harder and work more, and it's important to be more disciplined and to work harder and to pray more. But the reality is some of the circumstances we're in are so large that God's saying, you want to see a breakthrough in that community? You want to see a miracle happen in that school? You want to see that family member change radically? Here's what He says, I'm putting you in this situation. Keep on pressing fervently. Keep on moving in. Keep on calling out. Keep on crying out. Keep on seeking God. So not only are we to knock frequently and knock fervently, the third one is this, knock faithfully. Say that with me. Knock faithfully. Knock, knock. Divine. Jesus is divine and we are the branches. Okay. So here's what happens. It says there that this whole parable is given for one reason, that we should always pray and never give up. Say that with me.
Always pray and never give up.
Say it with a little more conviction.
Always pray.
Turn to the person next to you and say it to them.
Always pray.
Here's the reason that many of us give up too soon is that we feel like we failed if God doesn't answer our prayer. But that isn't failure. The only way you can fail is to stop praying. It's not just a matter of saying, oh, God, would you turn my child's life around? Oh, God, would you pay this bill? Oh, God, would you break through in this person's life? It's good to call out upon God once. But here's the problem is we stop asking. God's like, press into me. Because in the end, He's after relationship with us. He's after a place of dynamic where we're growing with Him and partnering with Him to see what only He can do. You notice the next story there where this happened in Scripture is the Battle of Jericho. Joshua leads the people into the promised land, and there's this giant city, Jericho, that needs to be defeated. And so God says, I want you to march around the walls 7 days. And so the first day they march around the walls, nothing happened. The second day they went out and obeyed God, and they faithfully marched around the second time, and nothing happened. And the third day, they went out and faithfully followed God, and they marched around the walls, and 3 days later, nothing happened. Joshua, why do we have to do this 4 days? Why do we have to get up and pray every day this week? Why do we have to come out every night? And the fifth time, they went around faithfully. And the sixth time, they ran around faithfully. And I'm sure some of them were thinking, 7 times. And on the seventh day, He's like, okay, folks, today we're going around 7 times. Now, I know just trying to get some people to walk a little bit, let alone around city walls 7 times. But here's what happened. At the end of the 7th time, when they lifted up a shout of praise to God, there was victory. There was that overcomer's crown. The walls came down. Why? Because faithfully they followed through on what God had asked them to do. They faithfully kept on saying, okay, God, you said this. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep knocking. We're going to keep walking. We're going to keep going around this. We don't understand why Joshua goes 7 times. We don't get it why Pastor Sean makes this come out every single day. But you know what happens? When we faithfully respond to God's call, God faithfully responds. And here's what it says next in that bottom box. The more faith you have, the more specific your prayers will be. And the more specific your prayers are, the more glory God receives. There is a call that God has to say, God, I want you to break through in this family. I want you to break through in this community. I believe for what you're going to do. And there's this place of faithfully coming to before the Lord and saying, God, I am not going to give up. You might not realize I have this skill, but I can predict the future. Because what you're praying for is what you're going to get. If you're on praying for nothing, you ain't getting nothing. I can tell what your future is by looking at your prayer list. Who are you praying for every day? What are you praying for every day? Where is it that you are knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking? Because I can tell by what you're praying for every day that God's about to do something amazing. Now, for all of us, Jericho is spelled differently. For those who may have cancer, it's spelled healing. For those who have vision, it may be called spelled provision. For those who are struggling with a family relationship, it may be reconciliation. And sometimes Jericho is spelled with a zip code or with a dollar amount. But whatever it is that you're asking God for, as you faithfully continue to knock, God says, you open up your eyes and spirit and call on me and I'll show you great things. In fact, you'll notice on the back it says, prayers are prophecies. What you're praying for is a prophecy of what you're going to get in your life. And if you're not praying for anything, that's what your future holds. But notice what it says there. Every miracle has a genealogy. Every miracle has a genealogy. Anybody ever tried to trace your family roots? I just found out this past week from my mom that my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was brought over as a slave from London into the U.S. You know, you sort of trace your family roots and where they came from, and oh, that's why you do that. No, that's where you get this from. And you try to trace roots. Every miracle has a genealogy. It goes back to somebody praying. It goes back to somebody believing. It goes back to somebody who says, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on seeking. And I've given you in the back five rings, five things that we can circle. Because if you trace these miracles all the way back to origin, you'll find a prayer circle. You'll find some place where somebody drew a circle and prayed. And we're going to do that for just a few moments. The first circle you notice there is a person. God says, put a ring around that person. Who is it for you? In fact, I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and write their name in there. It may be one of your children. It may be a spouse, a relative, a friend. It may be that boss that God put in your life, even though you're resisting it. Who is the person or persons God's saying, I want you to pray for? One of the blessings of my life that I believe I can attribute any success that's happened in my life goes back to my grandmother. My grandmother, Leah, had 12 children that survived. She had 16 altogether. And every day, three times a day, she fixed food for everybody for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But as soon as the last dish was done, she went in her bedroom, got on her knees, and you could hear her praying for all 12 kids and their 12 spouses and the 100-some cousins that we all had. Every day she called out, she prayed, God, would you touch Johnny? Lord, would you touch Ruth Ann? Lord, would you break through in their life? You could hear her pray. And she was 4'10" when she was at her tallest. By the time she died, I think she was like 4'5". Tiny little thing. But she called out faithfully and fervently and frequently. And I remember when she passed away. She was 91 years of age. I was privileged to do her funeral. And before she died, she called her kids around. She said, I just want you to know, because out of the 12 kids, six of them were following Christ and six weren't. And she said, I want you to know, even though I'm going to be dead, my prayers are still going to be effective. God's still going to answer. God's still going to work. My mom's oldest brother, Johnny, is 92 years of age right now. A year ago on Palm Sunday, a next-door neighbor came to his house. Johnny comes to the door, and they said, hey, can we come in for a minute? Said, last night, God gave us a dream about you, and we just felt like we needed to come and share the story of Jesus with you. Now, Johnny had known this since a kid. But right there, in that room, God started to break his heart. And they said, would you come to church with us next Sunday? And so the next Sunday, Easter Sunday, he came to church for the first time in like 70-some years. And when the pastor gave the altar call, all he could hear was his mom calling out his name. Those prayers were answered 26 years after she died. And 91-year-old Johnny made his way to the altar and got baptized the next Sunday. In fact, that's really amazing. Another one of my mom's sister's husband got saved 2 months ago in the same way. He's in his late 80s. Those prayers continued. Who is the person that God's asking you to circle in prayer? Don't give up. Don't just pray once and then complain about what they're not doing and what you're not seeing. This message is about keep on praying and never give up. Who is that person God's put there? Let's look at the second ring. It's a promise. God wants to give you a promise. I want to encourage you in this week of prayer when you're here, whether it's the morning times or afternoons or the evenings, ask God, say, God, put a promise in my heart. What is the word of the Lord? Because you know what? We can stand on these promises. God's word is true. He's not just throwing out, well, let me just tease him and give him some good thoughts and make him feel good and smile and happy. There's a promise in here for you. What is that promise for this year that you're supposed to pray through? One of them I've been praying, it comes from Ephesians 3:20, and here's what it says. God can do anything, far more than you can imagine, guess, or request in your wildest dreams. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or imagine according to his power that's at work in you. Ask God for a promise and then circle that promise every day in prayer. Say, God, I'm just going to believe for what you're going to do. I'm going to believe that you're a God who answers prayer. You're a God who does great and mighty things. You're a God who gives promises with one point in mind, to keep them. The third one is pastor. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to come up here and join me. Come stand in this circle. God has set this man as the leader, the servant, the pastor, the guide for this congregation. You know well enough in this city what happens when the enemy goes after a leader in a congregation. It can destroy a church. So you don't have to be much of a military strategist or a general in the army to recognize the plan of the enemy. Go for a leader. Knock him out. Get him distracted. Distract him. Speak lies to him. That's why one of your primary responsibilities as a congregation member, thanks, Brandon, is to pray fervently and faithfully and frequently for this man and his family. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do that right now. I'm just going to ask you to reach your hands toward Pastor Sean. Lord, there is no question that you are Lord over this place, and in your lordship, you have set this man as the father in this house. You knew that for this church and this community to go to the next place, this was the man of God to be in place. And Father, we just ask that you would lift his arms, lift his heart, lift his spirit, raise up in this room men and women who will stand in prayer and believe for what you're going to continue to do to bring grace and blessing and favor and insight and wisdom and strength in this man's life. We pray, Lord, a hedge of protection about him, about Sarah, about the kids. Lord, you would just continue to complete the work you've started. Continue to give him the authority. Continue to give him the wisdom. Continue to give them protection. Continue to give him peace. Continue to give him rest. Continue to release your purposes in his life. And may this be a congregation who knows the importance of standing alongside his leadership and believing and praying for your highest and best. Lord, we just pray blessing and favor and strength upon my brother. Encourage and strengthen him. May he sense that surrounding of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just give God thanks and praise for his goodness. Amen. There may be another ministry you're part of and another pastor on staff that you want to write in that circle as well, just to continue to lift up the leadership and believe for what God wants to do. Let's look at the fourth one, which is place. What is the place you're supposed to circle? You'll notice in the outline, in the bulletin today for a prayer coming up, there's all kinds of places that you can circle. There's the county, there's the nation, there's your workplace, there's the harvest, there's the schools. What is that place God is asking you to claim? That place where he says, every place the sole of your foot tread I've given to you. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's the place you work. Maybe it's this state. Whatever the vision is, God says, find that place, circle it, believe in prayer. You know, it was on this actual place right here. The young man named Gary Williamson drew a circle 30 years ago and said, God, you're going to build a building here. You're going to put a church here. There was nothing on this property, but he stood right here, do a circle and say, God, I'm going to believe that this is going to be a location from which you're going to do miracles. You're going to do amazing things. People's lives are going to change. People are going to be healed. You trace the genealogy back to a lot of things that are happening now. It started because a man drew a circle in prayer, and people stood over that place. And many people joined hands and made circles on this property to pray, God, we separate this place to you. What is the place, the workplace, the school, the identity of the location that God's asking you to circle? And last of all, possibility. Pastor Sean was a little nervous when I told him I wanted hula hoops. I hope this is working okay for you. Okay. The biggest problem you have isn't your big bill or your big diagnosis or your big frustration, but our biggest problem is our small view of God. If you're not believing for impossible things, then God's saying, trust me for something bigger, greater. Don't just settle. I've got more for you. I want you to understand that there's this place of believing for something that seems impossible. Maybe you want to write that in there right now. What is it that seems impossible to you? It's like, oh God, you could never do that. Now, maybe I could believe for this or this, but he's saying, circle, make a ring around something that you will know in the end that I did it. And God will get all the glory because you know God did that. I couldn't have done that. I couldn't even imagine how that was going to happen. And God, look what you did. Notice again why Jesus taught this parable. He told this parable for one reason, that we ought to pray and never give up. Say those last three words again. Never give up. Why? Never give up. He says, I don't want you to ever give up. What if Elijah had only prayed three times? What if the children of Israel only walked around Jericho 6 days? What if they stop short of that place of saying, God, I'm going to keep on knocking faithfully and fervently and frequently until you answer? What if they stopped one day short? You know, I know sometimes we think, Joshua, really? 7 days? Really? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Really? Yeah, really. Part of this season is a resolve. A resolve is a decision to say, God, I choose. I'm not just going to be blown around by circumstances or how I feel. I'm not going to live by what I see or how I feel, but I'm going to resolve, God, that I am going to keep on going. That name I wrote in there, I'm going to keep knocking. That place I'm believing for, I'm going to keep on knocking. That thing that seems impossible, that promise, that place of standing in the gap for my leadership, God, I'm going to keep on coming at you. And how much more than an unjust judge, God says, I'm going to do great and mighty things. I'm going to ask you to take your outline with the names that you've put there, the promise you've put there, the Franco's name, the place. I'm just going to ask you to stand with me and hold that before you. And Lord, we just agree together right now. You want to unleash something supernatural. You want to do something far greater than we could ever ask or imagine. Lord, you who started this work are going to be faithful to complete it. And Father, we ask you to help us not just to see what's going on, but to see with eyes of faith what you could do. Lord, some of us have prayed once or twice and we've had a good intention. But you're calling us to this place of persistence, to keep on praying. Lord, we're going to believe for this person for breakthrough. We're going to believe for this community for breakthrough. We're going to believe for the impossible things to become possible with you and your power. Lord, you know every person here, and you know whether they face illness or frustration, whether it's a relationship that's gone bad, whether it's a workplace, or whether it's a need for work. You know every person here, and you know the thing that you've allowed in their life right now to help them press to the next place. Lord, give us that spirit of the widow to keep resolve that we will keep on knocking, keep on knocking, keep on believing for all that you have for us. We thank you for that, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Knock, knock.
Amen.
Armageddon.
Amen.
Armageddon tired of knock, knock jokes. Knock, knock.
Amen.
Saul.
Amen.
That's all for now.
Jokes flying around the church this week. It's going to happen. It's good. Well, I can't imagine a better word to begin this month of resolution and this week of prayer. I'm going to ask you